And we're holding on page 108 in Brachos, about three lines from the end of the narrow lines. In Osius, it's about two-thirds of the way through Osayin Rav. We've been discussing the story of Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, Tfilas Ahavis Rishus, how Rav Gamliel was deposed from the Nesios and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead. Now we left off that Rav Gamliel finally went and asked Mechila by Rav Yeshua, and now Rav Yeshua is willing, and the other Chachamim are willing, to have Rav Gamliel back as the Nasi. So the Gemara says, so again, you have two Girsois over here, the Ein Yaakov's Girsa and Girsa in the standard printed Gemaras. So the first Girsa, the Ein Yaakov's, is Vafilo Hochi, Loy Abrua, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Nevertheless, they did not depose Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In other words, they didn't completely depose him from the Nesios. They have a Dorish Rabbi Gamliel, Tauti Shabsa, the Dorish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Choda Shabsa. Rather, from then on, Rabbi Gamliel would darish in 2 weeks out of two Shabbosim, 2 weeks out of every three, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would darish in the one. Or that's the Girsa that Ein Yaakov has. The Girsa in printed Gemaras is more elaborate. Amri, the Chachamim said, Heishu Nevin, what should we do now that we're going to give Rabbi Gamliel back his job? Na'abre, should we fire Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and just completely have Rav Gamliel will be the new Nasi, as it was before? Gemiri, Malan B'Kodesh Vein Meridim. What we know that you can only raise in Kedusha, you can't lower. So once Rav Elazar ben Azariah has been appointed, has been promoted to Nasi, then we can't demote him. Nidrish Mar Chada Shabsa, Mar Chada Shabsa. Should we say that they'll switch off and on? Every other week, Rav Gamliel will darish in, and every week in between, Rav Elazar ben Azariah will. Can't also the Kanuri. That will cause jealousy because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Gamliel, is going to figure, after all, I was the original Nasi. They deposed me in favor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, fine, but I should have some advantage over him. We shouldn't be co-equals. Ela Lidrash Rabbi Gamliel Tlosa Shabsa, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Choda Shabsa. So rather, the decision was that Rabbi Gamliel will douse in three Shabbosim out of every four, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will have the one. So we have two different Girsois over here, whether the arrangement in the end was 3-1 or 2-1. So actually Marsha points out that on the face of it, it should be enough 2-1. Why did they need to give Rav Gamliel 3 out of every 4? Actually though, then there's a footnote over here referring to a Marsha and Chagiga, which now the Gemara is going to reference, a line from there, where in fact Marsha there says that it was in fact like that, 2-1. So what Marsha's actual girsa was, whether it was 3-1 or whether it was 2-1, we can't be sure. Anyway, Ion Yaakov gives a reason. He says, like this, essentially what they would do is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be darshining once a month. 3 out of every 4, 3 versus 1, means that one Shabbos out of every month, he'll be the Rosh Hashiva and he'll be darshining. So that's good. That's good enough, in other words. You don't need to give him more than that. In order to not have Malan Makodesh for Meridian. So you're changing it from like this, he was the Rosh Hashiva every week, and like this, he'll be once a month. That's good enough. So therefore, they could do that, and they don't need to actually give him one Shabbos for every two of Rav Gamliel's. Anyway, V'hainu d'omamar Shabbos shomi hoisa, shal Rav Elazar ben Azariah hoisa. This explains a Gemara in Chagiga, in connection with Hapkel, which not only, by the way, this is not only the year of Hapkel, it's also today's Rambam Shlosh Prakim was about the dinim of Hapkel. Anyway, the Gemara mentions over there that Rabbi Eliezer, one time, Talmidim of his came to visit, and he asked, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa. He knew what was, even though this was, we talked about yesterday and the day before, that this is some time after Rabbi Eliezer had been removed from the Beis Medrash over the whole story of Tanur Shalach Noi, but he knew what was going on over there. He kept in touch through his Talmidim to know of everything that happened. So he asked his Talmidim, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa, whose Shabbos was it this week in Beis Medrash? And they told him it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's. And then they go on to tell him something that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshin about Hapkel, why it is that you have to have the men and the women and the children. Actually, I take that back. It wasn't Rabbi Eliezer, it was Rabbi Yeshua, rather, the Gemara says over there. It was Rabbi Yeshua, and actually he was very pleased that they told that, because the explanation they gave over there was that the children are brought litin schaulim mivyehem to give a reward to those who bring them to Hapkel, and Rabbi Yeshua was very pleased with that, because that's what his mother did when he was a baby. She took him around to all the Bate Medrash, and that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says on him in Pirkei Avos Ashrei Yeladto for that reason. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua was particularly pleased to hear that they told over this drasha. Anyway, the point is, why is he asking Shabbos from me? Because after this, for many years after that, you have that arrangement where you have to keep track of whose Shabbos it is, whether it's Rabbi Gamliel's or Rabbi Elazar ben Azarias. And the Gemara finishes off. That Talmud who started the whole thing, who got the whole ball rolling by asking Tfilas Avos Rishus Seichova, that was Reb Shimon ben Yochai. As we talked about a couple of days ago when we started the story, he must have been fairly young at that time. He can't have been more than he must have been like a bar mitzvah bacher, or maybe a little bit more than that, maybe even a little less than that. Who knows? Because he, after all, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who in turn is a Talmud of Rabbi Yeh, who in turn is a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua, who features in the story over here. An interesting point why we mention him only at the end. Ben Yehoyada says, because now that we established that after all a very good thing came out from it, that now you have Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and in fact he goes on and he explains like this. Now, obviously it was Min HaShemayim that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should be Nasi. Now, what would be the normal way that that would happen? Would have to be at some point Rabbi Gamliel would have to pass away and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would get the job instead. Like this, instead, it ended up being this way, that Rabbi Gamliel can still stay alive, and that he and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will switch off. That was a very great thing, that was a great schus that was brought about, and therefore now, after telling all of that, now the Gemara wants to highlight who is the Zakkai, who's in Gaugulim schus Ayde Zakkai, who was the tzaddik who, in his schus, all of this happened. That was Rabbi Shimon Yochai.
He also brings here, waited to the end after there was a happy ending.
That's pretty much what Ben Yehoyada is saying, that there was a happy ending, right? But he says specifically the happy ending is like this. Instead of Rabbi Gamliel having to pass away in order for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to get the job, instead he could be alive and he and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be co-nasi.
Bear mind, Frank.
Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah had continued, and the Gemara quotes, V'sham l'sof in kol ha-yoyim, that tefillas musaf, you can daven any time during the day, unlike shacharis and mincha, which have certain defined times. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'nikar peshea. But Rabbi Yochanan says that if a person delays and daven musaf too late in the day, then he's called peshea, he's called careless. Really, it's supposed to be, you should do like what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, and daven it by the seventh hour of the day. So the Gemara tells, in this connection, Rabbi Zeira ki avich cholish megiusei, when Rabbi Zeira would be weak and tired from his learning, Hava Omer, as he would say, Ezel the Ace of Apiska de Rab Nosson Bar Tovia, let me go and sit by the door of the house of the yeshiva of Rab Nosson Bar Tovia. Omar, and what's the point of sitting there over there? Omar, Rabbi Zeira said to himself, Ki Chalfi Rabbanon, when Chachamim passed by, going in and out of the Beis Medrash, Eikom Mikamayu, I will stand up in their presence, and thus fulfill the mitzvah of the Hadarta Pnei Zakin, Ba'akabo Agra, and that way I'll receive a reward from Hashem. Now, first of all, you notice two interesting things over here. First of all, what is he doing a mitzvah in order to get the reward? What happened to Shaloi Amanas the Kabbal Pras? So there's a famous answer that the Bnei Yisrael gives that, from based on earlier sources, the Pasuk says when it introduces this mitzvah of standing up in front of a Talmid Chacham, the expression is, Mipnei Seva Tokum Bardai Tokum Nezakim, V'yarei Samele Kecha Ni Hashem. So one way of understanding that is that it means the schar for standing up in honor of Talmid Chachamim will be the Yireis Samele Kecha, that you'll get greater Yiras Shemayim. That was the schar that Rav Zeira is looking forward to, that he should increase his Yiras Shemayim. Another interesting thing you notice is you see how wearying learning Torah is supposed to be on a high level or Rav Zeira. You see that to get up in front of every person that's coming by, every time a Chacham was coming by, would be less tiring than sitting and horving over a piece of Gemara. Anyway. Nosak also Rab Nosson Bar Tovia, Rab Nosson Bar Tovia, the Rosh Yeshiva himself came out, or not the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the senior Chachamim, this was his house after all. Omar Man Omar Halacha Bei Medrasha. So Rab Zeira asked him, who said the Halacha in the Beis Medrash? Meaning the Gemara has just discussed before that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're supposed to daven Musaf by 7 hours, and we said Rabbi Yochanan said that if a person davens it after 7 hours, he's called a Peshea. Who was the one who said that in the Beis Medrash? Amalei, said Rabbi Nosson Bar Tovia answers him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chola, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, what it is the Gemara had talked about, for example, we know that the earliest time that you can daven Mincha is half an hour after Chatzos. Now, Musaf, we say you can daven until 7 hours. So what happens if 6.5 hours in the day of Kham, it's time for Mincha, it can also be time for Musaf. So the Gemara is discussing, so the Halacha part of the Gemara had discussed, which one should you daven first? Should you daven Musaf first, or should you daven Mincha first? So Rav Nosson Bar Tuvia said that Rav Yechanan had said, Ein Halacha k'Rav Yehuda, Yom Mispal Lodim Shom Musaf, Ha'chakach Mispal Shom Mincha. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that in a case like that, you should daven Musaf and then Mincha. Rather, in that case, you should daven Mincha first. Now, it does bring that in Shulchan Aruch. However, it says you shouldn't do that with Sibur, because in the with Sibur, it's going to be very confusing. People are going to daven Mincha, and then you're going to daven Musaf. But the Yechidus, in principle, this is what you would do if the time for Mincha has already come. Omalei Rabbi Yechan and Omra. So Rabbi Zera asks Rabbi Nosson, is Rabbi Yechan the one who said that? And he says, yes. And he learned it from him 40 times. He repeated over. We had Rav Nosson repeat over to him 40 times that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that. Omalei, so after that, Rav Nosson asked him, why are you so interested in that halach? Chodah hilach? Is this a one thing for you? Meaning this is the only thing you've ever heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore you consider it particularly precious to you, and therefore you wanted to hear it again and again. Or is it something new to you that you thought there was one of the other Chachamim who said it, and now you're surprised to hear that it's Rabbi Yochanan said it? So Rabbi Zera answers, it's new to me. Mishum de Masapta Libra Rabbi Shrovan Levi. Because up till now, I had a suffix. I thought Rabbi Yishuv and Levi is the one who said that. Now you're telling me it's Rabbi Yechanan who said that. So therefore, that's something new and exciting to me to know who actually said it. So now, the Gemara continues in this connection. Omer Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. Rashi, by the way, makes a point. It's not De Omar. De Omar would mean that we're continuing. What made Rabbi Zera think that Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said this? Because there's something else that Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said in this connection. Rashi is pointing out, though, that it's not like that. The Gemara is now saying a new thing. Now that we established who it was that said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, as far as that matter of the order of Musaf and Mincha, now, by the way, the Gemara is mentioning a separate thing that Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said regarding somebody who delays davening Musaf. So, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kolam Ispalo Tfilah Shom Musaf in Ma'acha Sheva Shoyes for Rabbi Yehuda. Anybody who, according to Rabbi Yehuda, davens Musaf after Sheva Shoyes, where Rabbi Yehuda says you're really supposed to only do it until 7 hours. So, according to him, when you're davening after that, you're late. All of Akosi Loimer, on such a person, the Pasuk says, Nuge Mimoyed Osafti Mimeich Hoy. So literally, let's translate. Nuge means sad. Mimoyed from the Yomtiv, Asafti, I've gathered, Mimechoyu, they were from you. There's a pasuk in Sanya, one of the Tereyosar. It was actually in yesterday's Shlosh Prokham of Rambam that Rambam quoted it in connection with we know that during the Shlosh Regalim, you have to bring Korbanos when you come to the Bismikdash, and Ola Sariya, Shami Chagiga, you're supposed to bring them on the first day that you come, and if you delay them, then the Rambam learns from Or Gemara that it's not a good thing. So the Gemara says, "My mashma dahai nuge lishna de tavrahu." Where do we see that the word nuge, the first word of this pasuk, refers to breaking? In other words, punishment. So the answer is kind of a targum of Yosef. If we look in the targum of Rabbi Yosef, now the targum on Nevi'im is not actually from Rabbi Yosef. The targum on Nevi'im is from Yonas and Ben Uziel, who was a couple of hundred years before Rabbi Yosef. The reason why the Gemara often attributes the targum to Rabbi Yosef is, Mephoshim explained, Rabbi Yosef was blind. We know from various places in Shas. Now, therefore, he couldn't learn Torah Shabbat, because Torah Shabbat, you're not allowed to learn Baal Peh, just as in those days, you weren't allowed to learn Torah Shabbat from writing. So therefore, he couldn't learn Torah Shabbat, therefore, he had to focus on Torah Shabbat more, and that means when he wanted to learn Psukim, he would focus more on the Targum, which at that time was part of Torah Shabbat. So therefore, he became an expert in it. So therefore, the Gemara often speaks of as he translated it, even though really the Targum actually comes from Yonas and Ben Uziel. Anyway, he translates, Tavra osi al sen ehen de beis Yisrael, breakage, meaning punishment, will come on the enemies of the Jewish people, which is the Gemara's usual euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, al de echru zimne mayadaya de Yerushalayim, because they delayed the times of the Yom Tovim that are in Yerushalayim. So what does this have to do with what we said? So Rashi explains that we're saying that we're talking about a person delays Musaf. So therefore, we're talking about another exactly that. The person delays the time of Musaf, which is supposed to be Davin, which is supposed to be Davin at a certain time of the day, and he delays it, and therefore we're saying that, therefore, all of our Kosef Vayimer and the Kosef warns that such a person is subject to the punishment that it says in this Kosef. So in fact, Tosfos also points out that you can't very well say that it means that they delay the actual Yom Tovim, because there's no such thing. Once the Yom Tov is over, then it's gone. There's no delaying it. You can't say you postponed it for another day. Therefore, that's what forces the Gemara, that's what forces the Targum to say that we're talking about, when we say the times of the Yom Tovim, we have to mean the time of the Musaf that is said, that is said on Yom Tov. So, with that said, we said in yesterday's Shlosh Parakim of Rambam, the Rambam takes it in a different sense. It is referring to the Yom Tovim themselves and to their Korbanos, but not that a person delays them completely beyond the Yom Tov. It's true, then you can't speak about delaying them, then over Zmanet Boto Korbanos, but rather we're talking about that a person delays them within the time, within the Yom Tov itself, instead of bringing them on the first day, he gets around to bringing them on the second or third or whatever day. In any case, the point is, from our Gemara, so we see that you're not supposed to delay Musaf. Musaf, after all, Marshal points out, is supposed to be in place of the Korbanos, so therefore you're supposed to daven it in time. There is a point Iyun Yaakov makes. So why don't we say the same thing about Shachris? Why don't we say if a person delays Shachris, which also corresponds to the Talmud Shal Shachar, then also there's something bad about that. The answer is, at least with Shachris, you can say, look, you know, the person was tired, he slept in. But Musaf is in the middle of the day. What's he doing by that time? He's certainly not going to be asleep. Therefore, there's less of an excuse. The Mishnah says, Reb Nechunya ben Akona hayim spawal b'knei sasa l'veis ha-medrash or v'itziyasit tfilat tzara. When Reb Nechunya ben Akona would enter the Beis Medrash, and when he would leave the Beis Medrash, he would say a short tefillah each time. Amru le ma mokim le tefillah zus, and I asked him, where's the place for this tefillah, meaning what exactly is the nature of this tefillah that you're davening about? Omalahem. So he answers them, "Bikisasi, when I come into the Beis Medrash, and in the spalo shall a yera takola al yod, I daven that there shouldn't be a stumbling that happens to me." Meaning, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that I shouldn't paskin wrongly, that I shouldn't paskin wrongly, and people are going to follow me and follow and act wrongly. And when I leave, I thank Hashem for my portion that I have the schus to be learning Hashem's Torah. So the Gemara says, Tanur Abanan, we learn in a braisa, the details, but what did he say when he entered the Beis Medrash? He says, Yirotzen mefanach Hashem alekai, may it be your will, Hashem, my God, shalo yera dvar takola al yodi, that there shouldn't be any stumbling that happens to me, v'lo yakosho v'dvar halacha, I should not trip over a matter of halacha, meaning to pass in halacha wrongly. Ben Yoyada makes an interesting point in this. Aren't those the same thing? If he stumbles in halacha, other people are going to follow him and it's going to end up being wrong. So he says not necessarily, because what you could have is, you could have for a koshel b'dvar halacha means that the person, that the chacham actually paskins wrongly. He forgot a certain source, or he misapplied it or whatever, and therefore he ends up paskining halacha wrongly. Chakola al Yodi would be something else. He's paskining according to this, paskining api halacha, but he doesn't realize, for example, that the Edim were false Edim, or that the evidence was wrong, or whatever. So therefore, he's davening for that as well. And he mentions in that connection a story involving the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, where one time there was a case of a man had disappeared, and they need Edus that his wife can remarry. Akitsu, there was such Edus, so the Beis Yosef, I don't remember which is which, but between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, one of them allowed her to remarry and the other one did not. I think Beis Yosef said no, and the Ramah said yes. So the Beis Yosef, as we know, had a Magid, he had a Malach who would come and teach him secrets of Torah and no such things. So this Magid comes and explains to him, he says, Your understanding of the halacha is correct. Based on the evidence that was brought to you, she should be allowed to be married. However, the fact is the Edim had misseen. They saw the body and they recognized that it was him, and really it was somebody else. So now, in order that there shouldn't be a takala, in order that it shouldn't come out that she's going to marry, and that is why that Amar ended up paskining Min HaShemayim. He was helped to realize that in the paskin that she can't be married. Meanwhile, as far as you, the Beis Yosef, don't worry that there's going to be a takala through you, because meanwhile, the Magid tells him that Eved Shteh has arranged that the guy dropped dead from something else. So in the end, now his wife is allowed to be married, not because of the fact that you said, but because in any case, he's dead now anyhow. So this is what we mean. In other words, so you can have, you passed him correctly, up your locker, but nevertheless, the facts that were presented to the Rav are wrong. So he's davening about both of those things. So, and he continues, v'yismuchu bi chaveray, and my friends would be happy about me. Now Rashi explains that v'loya kosher b'dvar halacha v'yismuchu bi chaveray is one long sentence, or one long clause, meaning, if I were to stumble in a matter of halacha, if I were to decide the halacha wrongly, my friends would be happy against me that look, we showed him up. So therefore, so that would be two bad things. Number one, that he passed in wrongly, and number two, that his friends are then going to be punished in Hashemayim for being happy on him. Maharsha says that's not what it means. It means it's two separate things. He's asking, number one, shalei kosher b'dvar halacha. I shouldn't stumble in passing in halacha. Number two, that in general, yismuchu chaveirai did, yismuchu bi chaveirai, my chaveirim should be able to be really besimcha about me that I pass in correctly. So not like Rashi says that the result of me passing wrongly would be the yismuchu bi chaveirai, but rather two separate things. When I do the right thing, then they'll be happy with me that I did the right thing. Anas Yosef brings over here a point from a tshuva of Bachsam Sofer. There's a tshuva of Bachsam Sofer that he wrote to the Maharak's Chayus. They were contemporaries. The Bachsam Sofer was a rav in Pressburg. The Maharak's Chayus was a rav in Zalta. Anyway, they were contemporaries. So there's a tshuva. There's probably more than one, but anyway, there's a long tshuva in Chassam Sofer's tshuvas that he wrote to Maharak's Chayus discussing different things from all over Shas and Poskim. It's a long tshuva. Anyway, at the beginning of it, he explains, and then Anaf Yosef brings it over here briefly. You can have like this. We have cases in the Gemara where a Chacham was paskining something and he was about to paskin wrongly, but then another one of the Chachamim showed up and was able to correct him. The Gemara brings an example from a Gemara in Bava Basra, where Rav Elish had paskin something, and then Rava showed up at the last moment and corrected him, and the Gemara says on it, the expression, Ani Hashem v'ita achichena, Hashem sends things quickly at the right time, Bashbacha brought this, that Rava showed up in order to correct Rav Elish. So now, what would happen? So now, Rava is happy that he was able, that he had that schus to save Rav Elish. That's the, on the other hand, what Rav Chunya ben Akana is davening over here is, there shouldn't be such a situation. It should rather be that I'm able to figure out the correct answer on my own without needing somebody to come in at the last moment and save me from making a mistake. That's the b'yis m'chul b'chadei, right? That they shouldn't be, that they have the opportunity to be happy that they saved me from a serious mistake, but rather that I should be able to accomplish that on my own. Anyway, he continues. That's what I'm saying. By Rashi, it's one sentence. By Marsha, it's two sentences. That's what I was saying. Yeah. He asks Hashem, I shouldn't mistakenly say I'm something that's Tahor that's Tomei, that I'm something that's Tomei that's Tahor, or something that's Tahor that's Tomei. And my friends, the other Chachamim, should not stumble in a matter of Halacha, and I'd be happy against them. Again, according to Rashi, that would be one long thing. It shouldn't happen that they stumble in a matter of halacha, and I will then be happy that they made a mistake, and I was able to show them up, because that would be a bad thing. Or, according to Maharsha, two separate things. They shouldn't stumble, and I should have the ability to be happy with them, with what they accomplish in Torah. So that was in the Chunim and Akonis Tefillah, when he would go into the Beis Medrash. When he would leave the Beis Medrash, he would say, I thank you, Hashem, my God, that you made my portion be among those who sit in the Beis Medrash. You didn't make my portion among the people who sit on the corners. Now, what are the people who sit on the corners? Rashi says two possibilities. It can mean storekeepers who sit on the corners and are selling things, or it can mean Amei Aretz who are sitting on the street corners and stand talking and chatting with each other. Yad Yosef, by the way, brings a Girsa from the Yerushalmi that the one in Asata Chelki, the Vati Tartius for Kirkusoyus, you didn't make my portion among those who go to the theaters and the circuses and those places of Goyisha entertainments. And he continues, Shehei Mashkimim Vani Mashkim, they wake up early and I wake up early. But the difference is, Hei Mashkimim Ledvorim Betalim, they wake up early for unimportant, for silly things, Vani Mashkim, the Divet Torah, whereas I'm getting up early for words of Torah. Ani omel vehema melim. I'm working hard and they're working hard. Ani omel makabel schar. I work hard and I receive reward for it. Vehema melim veena makabel schar. They work hard and they don't get a reward for it. Marsha refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which actually there was the project for Kutta Sicha from a couple of weeks back from Lech Lecha was on this Gemara. The Gemara says over there, Odom la'omo yulad. A person is born in order to work hard. It's passed from Iyad. What kind of omo? We would think it means amal mawacha. And we have a pasuk that says no, it means omo involving the mouth. Then we would think it means amal sicha, the work of speaking. And no, we have another pasuk that explains it means the amal Torah. And there's a sicha there in Cherek Tesvav where the Rebbe analyzes this in some detail and explains that really you do need all three. A person needs amal malacha. That's why he mentions over there from a medrash that Abraham was very impressed when he came to Eretz Canaan and he saw the people are working hard there to make a living. That's the first thing a person needs is to tackle work in the world in order to improve it. Ashabara lekim. Then higher than that is amal sticha, is the human touch that you put into it. Only people can speak, after all, not animals. And sticha in that connection also means davening. So it means also the avodah of davening. And then highest of all is amal Torah. And then it goes into a discuss over there. You need them, and you need all three, and you need them davka in that order. So now he's saying that ultimately they're amelim, they're omel in the first two, in malacha and in sicha, but they're not getting the full schar of it. I'm omel in Torah, and therefore I have the best of all of them. There's an explanation from the Chafetz Chaim also that after all he says so. What they don't earn a living from it? They don't make a profit from it. So he says the vort is. Let's say you have a person is working in a job or whatever, so he was working, and in the end it didn't work out. Is he going to get a schar for it? No, the fact is it didn't work out. The thing didn't come out the way he wanted to. Whereas with Torah, just the fact that you're sitting and learning and hurting over Torah, even if you don't come out with a correct conclusion, I'll be Torah, nevertheless, the effort itself, you get schar from the age there. Anyway, he continues, Ani rots v'hem rotsim. I'm running and they're running. Ani rots v'chaya olam haba. I am running toward the life of olam haba. V'hem rotsim v'ver shachas. And they're running to the pit of destruction. Because they don't realize what they're here in this world in order to accomplish. Eitz Yosef brings over here from Rabbeinu Yonah on the reef over here, who says that Ani rots also means that I realize I'm running and I'm getting closer and closer to the end of my life. Therefore, I'm making sure to prepare provisions for myself by learning Torah all the time. Whereas Heim rotsim, they're running and they don't realize that they need to be preparing an Olam Hazeh, that to Olam Hazeh Dorim LeProizder, that this is the world in which to accomplish in order to accomplish things for Olam Haba. They're not realizing and they're wasting their time in this world. So we don't mean, so we can mean goyim, we can also mean, so to a certain extent, it can mean goyim, it can also mean yidden, who are not living up to what they need to. They're not going to end up in Be'er Shachas forever, of course, chas v'shalom, but nevertheless, the point is, they're not realizing that they need to prepare in this world, they don't realize that they're getting closer and closer to the end of their time in this world. Whereas it is, I realize that, and therefore, ani rots v'chayim haba, I'm running. As I'm in this world, I realize that I'm getting closer and closer to Chayyan Abba, and therefore that I have to prepare for that. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, Shechola Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnesu Tamidim Levakulei. When Rabbi Eliezer was sick, his Tamidim came to visit him. Amrullah, they said, Rebbe, Lamdenu Urchas Chayim, Rebbe, teach us the ways of life, V'nizkabem Chayyan Abba, through which will be Zoycha to Chayyan Abba. So in other words, they're asking for general guidelines in avoda that through that they should be zoicha to chayyeh olam haba. So Amalem, he says to them, Yizor b'chavod chavereichem, be careful with the kavod of your colleagues. And the Rif points out that Rabbi Eliezer himself, first of all, we have in Pirkei Avos also, Rabbi Eliezer says, the first thing he says, you have over there each of the five Talmidim, says three things, and the first thing he says is, Yehi chol chaber chavalach shalach. But we see, in fact, in Rabbi Eliezer's lifetime, he ran into that. You have the whole story of Tanur Shalach Noi, where he was maintaining his opinion against all the other Chachamim, and they eventually, as we said before, threw him out of the Beis Medrash and put him in Nidui. So therefore, he had very good reason to say to his Talmidim, that a person needs to be careful with the covet of his chaver, meaning, in other words, he's regretting that it came to that, that they didn't treat him with the proper covet, and vice versa, and therefore you be careful about that for the future. Then he continues, Ochshatim Mispalin, the next thing to be aware, also, by the way, when you say Yehichoy Chavercha Chavralach Shalach, Chavercha actually can also include Hashem himself. Eitz Yosef points out, you have, for example, the famous story of the Ger who comes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. And then Hillel tells him, Daloch Sani L'Chavercha Lysavi. So Rashi says over there, that covers the mitzvah Shemenon L'Chaveri. How does that cover the mitzvah Shemenon L'Mokim? And he said, because we find Psukim where Hashem is referred to as our friend. So therefore, Kvod Chavercha can also mean to be careful of the covet of the Eishim. Second of all, Rabbi Eliezer tells them, "Achshatim mispalim." When you're davening, "Du'u lifnei miyatim mispalim," or "Omdim," be aware before whom you're davening or before whom you're standing. Meaning, realize that you're standing in front of Hashem.
By the way, the Rabbi explained that there also the idea of chave, which is Eibush there, in the way of Alipar the Dame Chavor mitoch to Aloch, is in Shaman.
So Alipar the Dame Chavor mitoch to Aloch, Alipar the Dame Chavor mitoch to Aloch. Now chave means Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're actually going to have that line. I put the element to tell you about Aloha. I think we're going to have it at the beginning of the next. Right. Yeah, I think we're going to have it actually at the beginning of the next paragraph. So we're going to have it in a few days' time. That's the shame. Yeah. That's, anyway. So he continues. So when you're davening, be aware before whom you're standing. Be aware you're standing in front of Hashem. And therefore daven with that appropriate kavana. The third thing he tells them, Uminu b'necha min ha'igoy. Keep your children away from Higoyim. Now, what is Higoyim? Rashi himself gives two explanations. One, that it means Tanakh. The problem is, now what's wrong? Tanakh is a very good thing to learn. The problem is it's very absorbing. It is. Tanakh is very fascinating, by the way. However, if you learn it exclusively, you're not giving enough time to Mishnah and Gemara and Halacha and whatever. And therefore, in other words, you have to strike a balance. You have, for example, you have the Gemara in Kiddushin that says that you loyal Mishalosh Adam Mishnois. If a person should spend one third of his time on Mikra, one third on Mishnah, and one third on Gemara. So therefore, according to that, Rabbi Eliezer is warning them to not upset that balance. The second explanation Rashi says is Higoyen means children's talk. So the silly kind of things that kids talk about, try to keep your kids away from that and into talking about more substantive things. Then in parenthesis over here, it brings from the Aruch that it means specifically, as far as Psukim, it means when they learn Psukim Kitzurasam, you learn the Pasuk exactly as it's written without looking at the Pirushim of Chazal on it. So there are many Psukim that you can misunderstand. There are many Psukim that if a person learns them Kitzurasam, it can bring them to actual apikorsis. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is warning them against that. There are many examples. I mean, you have, for example, all the psukim that describe Hashem in human terms. You have psukim of Maisim Merkava. You have psukim that all kinds of things. Yeah. Anyway, you have psukim that on the face of it seem to contradict things in Chumash. You have, for example, all those psukim in Yechezkel and in other places that on the face of it contradict things in Chumash, and the Chachamim had to spend a lot of effort explaining what they actually mean. So those are the kinds of things that a person could easily come to wrong conclusions just reading them superficially. Yeah, that's something else. That's misreading the pasuk. That's something else. But yeah. Anyway, there's an enormous number of other explanations what Higoyen means over here. Among the many other explanations there's an explanation from the Gaonim that it means philosophy, specifically the philosophy, rhetoric, that kind of thing, like those kinds of things. There's an explanation, Ben Yehoyada says, that it means Goyish history. And then there's many, many other different explanations of what exactly it means. But in any case, it's something that Rabbi Eliezer is telling this Talmidim, it's not really good for your children. For an adult, maybe once a person is, as the Rambam puts it, really crazy, filled up his stomach with the bread and meat of Torah, then maybe there's room for these things, but not in the child's curriculum. Then he continues, "Vahoshivum ben dirkei tamid chachamim, have your children sit between the knees of tamid chachamim to learn Torah." Maharsha explains, this goes together with the previous thing. So you're saying these little kids, they're not old enough yet to be learning Mishnayos or Gemara. But you're saying, but we just said, minu b'necha min ha'igoyen, don't have them learn Tanakh too much because it's going to be too absorbing. Well, then, what are they supposed to do during that time? They're going to go bottle. So the answer is no. Have them get used to being around Talmid Chachamim, and that alone, like we said before, with Rabbi Yeshua, that alone, they'll develop Midas Tovus from being around the Chachamim. And later, as they get older, they'll be ready for Mishnah and Gemara and so forth. And he finishes off with that, with doing such things, you will be zoicha to chayyeh olam haba. Then the Gemara continues. Now, when Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was sick, Nichnas the Talmid of Levakra, his Talmidim came to visit him. He saw them, he started crying. So they asked him, our Rebbe, Ner Yisrael, the light of the Jewish people, Amud Hayimani, the right pillar, you have in front of the Heichal, there were two pillars that Shlomo put up, called Yochin and Boaz. The right one in Torah is always the stronger and the better one, so therefore they're comparing him to that. Patish Achozak, the strong hammer. Marsha explains that these three expressions that they're using in praise of him, Ner Yisrael is because of all the mitzvahs that he accomplished. Amud HaYimani, as we know, he saved the Jewish people at the time of the Churban. Ten Liyavna Mechachameha. So he was the pillar that the whole Jewish people from then on rests on. And Patish HaChozak is because he was tremendously strong in knowledge and analysis of Torah.
So Yamin stands for Torah. Small is for Davening.
Okay. Yamin is for Torah. Yeah. Mimina Yesh Doslama. Yeah. So they ask him, Ma Ata Boche, why are you crying? So he answers them, if they were bringing me in front of a human king, where after all, a human king is here, he's here today, and tomorrow he's dead and in the grave, and a human king, if he's angry with me, his anger is not forever, because eventually he drops dead, and then all of his policies are cancelled, and if he arrests me, he can't arrest me forever, same thing. Or even if I do die before him, then still, you'll have like Maram Rutenberg or whatever, where his body gets many years, gets out of jail many years later. It's not going to be there forever. And even if he kills me, it's not forever, because there's going to be a tres amesim. And a human king, I can always appease him with words. I can always talk nicely to him and calm him down. Or the sheikh dim a moment, or I can bribe him with money. Even knowing all of that, I would still cry if I'm going before him because I would be frightened of what's going to happen. Now I'm being brought in front of the King of Kings, Hashem. He's alive forever, unlike a human king. If he's angry with me, his anger will be forever. If he arrests me, then it'll be an unrest forever. If he kills me, then it's an eternal thing. Why the three different expressions? One point is, Ben Yehoyada mentions, because you have three different things that can happen to the neshama after a person passed away. You can have Kores, you can have Gilgal, or you can have Gehenna. So therefore, so he's mentioning all these three things. I can't appease Hashem with words, and I can't bribe him with money, which means, Marsha says, while I'm alive, I can do that. I can do tshuva. That's bribing Hashem with words. That's appeasing Hashem with words. I can daven. That's appeasing Hashem with words. I can give tzedakah. That is, so to speak, bribing Hashem with money. There's even a medrash, actually, that says that Hashem, we say that Hashem doesn't accept bribes, but that tshuva, in a certain sense, is a bribe. There's a sikha where they never talk about why that is, because you can even have a person's tshuva is not so sincere, so in that sense, it's like a bribe, and Hashem still accepts it. But Rabbi Yechon is saying, after I'm gone, I don't have any ability to do such things. So the loy oid, not only that, he says, Elosh yesh lefane shnei drachim, there are two roads in front of me, echad shal gehenim ve'echad shal gan eden, one leading to gehenim, the other leading to gan eden, ve'eni yedeh, ve'ezeh me'lehen me'lechinoisi. I don't know which one of them I'm going to be led on. Now, how is it possible that a tzaddik like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai has no idea if he's going to be led to to gan eden or to gehenim? So first of all, Marsha says, okay, that he's saying it, after all, as we know from earlier in the Masech, that tzaddikim are never certain about themselves. Even David says on himself, "Lulei Hamanti," that I'm not sure. Shema Yigru Machet. So he's saying that he wants to teach his talmidim anova. Akosev also says another possibility is he says that maybe what it means is not that he's saying I'm afraid that I'm actually going to be taken to Gehenna, but I'm afraid Hashem might decide that I'm going to die in a way that is more like Gehenna. You learned earlier in the Masechta that there's easier and harder ways for a person to die. You have the easier way that tzaddikim have, which is like misas neshika, like pulling a hair out of milk. Then you have the harsher way that some people have to undergo, like trying to pull a rope out of a very tight, out of a very tight hole.
So first, Hakosev says
maybe that's what he's concerned about, that the teva hamisa, that it might be the kind that's more similar, the kind that's more similar to Gehenna. Now, there is an explanation that's brought in many, many, many places in Chassidus. After all, I mean, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah, Kosev mentions it over here, about the tremendous thing that he accomplished in Torah and for the Jewish people. How is there even a Havam, you know, that he could think that he might go to Gehenna? So, and the answer is that what a person accomplishes is that doesn't necessarily, in his life, doesn't necessarily tell us what his penius is. So he was concerned all his life. He's been working and he's been learning and teaching Torah and working on behalf of the Jewish people, and he saved them in the whole story of Asas Yonis. But after all, he doesn't know what's with his penius. Is his penius where it should be? And now, so all his life, he was busy with his avoda. There was no time to deal with that. Now that he's about to pass away, now is the time to worry about where his penimius is.
So now it's
his bonus that he never could take the time for because he's too busy being poil on behalf of the Jewish people. But now, in his last moments, is the time for that. With that said, there are also Mephoshim who say that maybe what he's concerned is there's the idea that Tzaddikim's Neshamas sometimes are brought through near Gehenna in order to bring out Neshamas from Gehenna with them, and he's concerned that maybe it's going to be that. Maybe he's not going straight to Gan Eden, maybe he has to make a detour first to Gehenna to schlep out such Neshamas. There is also a fascinating explanation that the Ein Eliyahu, one of the Mephoshim on Ein Yaakov that's printed separately, explains. I've seen it in different other places also. In that story of Asas Yonis, so what happened? You have the whole thing over there where he has himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim to meet Asas Yonis, and Asas Yonis tells him, "I have to destroy Yerushalayim because it's like the snake wrapped around the jar of honey. You have to break the jar in order to save the honey." And then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did, and therefore the same thing, the Guryonim are infesting Yerushalayim, and you have to destroy Yerushalayim to get rid of them, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai doesn't say anything. And then further down on that same Amud, Rabbi Asas Yonis asks him ask me anything and I'll give it to you, and he asks for Yavne v'chachameha, and doctors to hear Rabbi Tzadik and so forth. And in both those cases, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai could have said something. In the first thing, he could have said, he could have continued the nimshal, so he could have continued the mashal. You take tongs and you remove the snake, and then the barrel was safe. In other words, the nimshal being, work on getting rid of the biryonim, and we'll assist you with that, but don't destroy the whole Yerushalayim in order to get rid of them. And in the second thing, instead of asking for Yavne v'chachamel and so forth, he should have asked that Asas Yonis not destroy Yerushalayim. So in both those things, the Gemara says that like Hashem took away his chachma. So now there's an explanation that now, in his last moments, he was thinking to himself, after all, in both of those things, did I make the right choice? So therefore, that's now who knows whether, yeah. So the Loy Evka, so he says, should I not cry? So the Gemara continues, Omer Loy Rabbeinu Borchein. They told him, Rebbe Benchas. Omer Lahem, he says to them, Yehi Rotzen Shehei Murder Shemayim Aleichem to murder Boss of a Dumb. May it be Hashem's will that you should have fear of Hashem like you have fear of human beings. Now, of course, Akol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz M'Yiras Shemayim, Marsha points out that we know that a person can get Siyata B'Shemayim. Omer Lo Rabbeinu, Talmidim, Ad Kan V'Tu Lo, what only, if you should have Yiras Shemayim only as much as we have to human beings, shouldn't Yiras Shemayim be much greater? Omer Lohem Ulevai, he tells them Halavai, you should have at least that much, because at least a person has Mora Basav Adam, it tends to keep him away from Avedah. So if a person had the mentality that the Eidoshter is watching him all the time, then that would keep him away from many different Avedahs. Yad Yosef brings over here also a point that when a human being tells you to do something, you do it right away. Halavai at least to have the same kind of thing towards the Eivishter that he tells you to do right away, and you jump to do it right away. Tedu, and he says you can show it, you know it. Shadam over Avera. After all, a person does an Avera. Omer Shalo Yirani Adam. He says to himself, as long as people don't see me. So we see that people have a certain motor bus of Adam. So at least you should have that kind of motor to the Eivishter. Bishas Ptirose, as he was about to pass away, Omar Lahem, he tells them, Panu Kalim Mipnei Truma, clear away the Kalim, the furniture and whatever in the house because of the Truma, because otherwise they're going to become Tomei Mess when I die. V'achinu Kisei L'Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda Shabbat, and prepare a chair for Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who has come to escort me. Why Dafka is easier? Why Dafka those two things? So Akosef points out, it shows that even at that last moment, he still had the head to think of such a thing and to realize that there's going to be Tumas Nes over here, and also to stress to them they shouldn't think that Tzadikim maybe are not Metame and therefore the Kalim are not going to be Tame. No, nevertheless, you still have to clear them out. The reason why Chizkiyahu, there's a few different explanations why Chizkiyahu, one of them is, after all, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai saved the Jewish people in his time. If not, the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, unlike Chizkiyahu saved them from Sancheiriv, and in his time, the Jewish people were saved from Sancheiriv, and the Beis Mikdash stayed standing. But both of them were Margaret's Torah in the Jewish people. Chizkiyahu, we know famously, put a sword over there in front of the Beis Mikdash and said, everybody has to learn Torah. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai accomplished the same thing, Ten Liyavna Mechachamel. So therefore, it's very appropriate that Chizkiyahu should come to be, to escort him to Gan Eden.
Because Chizkiyahu,
yeah, that's actually
the
Mashiach. Yeah.
So basically, by
Rabbi Yechon
ben Zakkai, yeah,
yeah.
He, like, even in the moment where he has to pass away, he's still believing in Mashiach.
Okay, I mean, it's a nice chetel, but I mean, Chizkiyahu was not Mashiach. In that case, you should say that Mashiach is coming to be Malavim. Okay. I hear. I mean, there is actually, Rav Sadia Goyen says that actually Rav Yechon ben Zakkai himself was a descendant of Chizkiyahu. So therefore, it's very appropriate that his ancestor, Chizkiyahu, comes to be malava him. There is actually a good deal of discussion whether Rav Yechon ben Zakkai was a Kohen or not. There is some place where it implies that he was a Kohen. In that case, if we're saying he was descended from Chizkiyahu, we'd have to be on his mother's side or something. But it's not universally agreed to whether he was a Kohen or not. So he could have been actually from Beis Dovin. In that case, he's descended from Chizkiyahu. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, speaking of Tchias HaMesim, and Tanya explains that all the Giloyim that will be La'asid Lavei all depend on Ma'asenu, Rabbi Desenu, everything that we accomplish during the time of Golos. Now, so we have in general, the general Avodah of the Jewish people brings the Gola. There's also the idea of Midah Keneged Midah. So that means the Avodah that we do that specifically will bring Tchias HaMesim, number one is in general when we do mitzvahs and we take the Gashmias of the world, which after all gets eventually wears out and gets destroyed and dies, and we make that a Keli and a Mishkan for Kedusha, which lasts forever. So that avodah leads to Tchias HaMesim. Second of all, in general, the idea of Birurim is you're bringing up, you're elevating the spark of Kedusha that fell down, and the Zohar has an expression that when something falls down from its level, it's called dead. So therefore, so when you raise up that Nitzitz, you're bringing it alive again, and therefore that's a semblance of Tchias HaMesim, and therefore that leads to the actual Tchias HaMesim. Quick halacha, we were in the middle of talking about things that we're in the middle of talking about things that are mezonos. So yesterday we talked about if you have grain that was cooked together, it's actually a good example that I didn't think of yesterday is, let's say, for example, pura barley. When you take barley and put it in the cholent, for example, so the Alter Rebbe says that if you cook it so much that the grains stick together, then you would say mezonos and alamichya on it. Otherwise, if they don't, then you only say hadjama on it. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe had said that you should be careful and only eat kashir, b'sei chasoda, and b'dievet, you say grown nefashos. Then he continues over here that if you eat such things with soup, or you have, for example, noodles or whatever that you have with soup that were cooked, then you don't make a separate bracha on the soup because the soup is bottle and tuffle to the noodles. On the other hand, if you have only a little bit of latkes or fireful or whatever, and the main thing you want is the stew or the milk or whatever, then they're not bottled, then you would say shach. And then even though you're eating the mezonos, but still the liquid would be considered the ikker. The best thing, he says, is to be on the safe side, make shahakel first, in that case on the soup, and drink a little bit of it, and then make mezonos on the noodles. Because after all, they're not totally tuffle, because after all, min dagan is important, so it's not completely tuffle if it's there to give a flavor.